I never thought about the universe, it made me feel small. Never thought about the problems of this planet at all. Global warming, radioactive sites, imperialistic wrongs, and animal rights. No!
Hello, it is Friday, July 10th, 2015. This is episode 4.5. Come out and play. In episode 4, I spoke with Greg Tafrye about his upcoming Real World Game Festival. Come out and play. But we also spoke more about the types of games and some things that have happened in previous years. Check out this extended interview to learn a little bit more about the history of Come Out and Play. Follow us on Twitter at BQuinPodcast and like the Facebook page to get updates on future episodes. As usual, there's plenty of links on the blog to learn more about the festival and ways to get in contact if you're interested in volunteering. Plus, you could join with a meetup group that I will be leading at the festival. So, if you didn't have anyone to go with, now you do. Reach all these links on the blog at thebillquinpodcast.blogspot.com. And with that, here is my extended interview with the co-founder of the festival, Greg Tafrye. I'm sitting here with Greg Tafrye from Come Out and Play. What is Come Out and Play? What is the festival? What happens?
Come Out and Play started about, I think this is our 10th year doing it. I'm a game designer, and I work with a bunch of other game designers. And we were really interested in street games and real world physical play, social games. And we're seeing a lot of people want to do stuff like that. So we decided to put on a festival to do that. And so now it happens every year. There's several events. On Friday night, there's what we call After Dark. It's going to be down in Dumbo, and that will include a bunch of different games that are everything from sort of tech-enabled new street games, like things with big projections, or, you know, video games like 100 people can play with their cell phone at the same time. Some other really silly things, like there's this one, Rose Macbeth, that I'm very much looking forward to, which is a sort of blindfolded fake knife fight in a fake graveyard. And then on Saturday out on Governor's Island, we do another event, a couple of events. We do a field day and a family day. And the field day is sort of new, interesting new sports that people have made up, other physical games. And then the family day is, we do that with our partners, ESI Design. And that's games for like families, like parents and kids to play together. And then we're doing another event in the evening with a Kickstarter, which is will be a bunch of like party games. So yeah, really, it's a festival about like playing lots of interesting new games, kind of very experimental, weird stuff, kind of. But it's kind of what makes it fun.
So, what if someone wants to or has a game design? Is it too late for them to enter for this festival, or what do they do if they want to enter a game into the festival and do something?
Yeah, so we do. We put out a call for submissions every year, sometime in the early spring, and ask people to submit. We kind of every year we. The festival sort of changes where it happens a little bits of it every year. So we kind of find out where it's going to be. It's been in Times Square and the Lower East Side and Park Slope. And this year it's in Dumbo and in Governor's Island. So we find out where it's going to be, and we put out a call for submissions asking people to submit games that they think will be good for those locations. Then we kind of go through those and build up a program of games and events and experiences that we think will be interesting. And we really try and be as like sort of big tent as possible, to try and give people lots of weird, you know, lots of different experiences. Very hard to know what's going to go well just from reading a description of it. And unlike a film festival, we can't really review them all as easily beforehand. But then, so unfortunately for this year, we've already sort of put together the whole slate of things because it's in another week and a half. But so if you are interested, I would say, come play the games this year, and then definitely submit next year.
So, of all the locations being around New York City, what was your favorite place so far that you guys have held the festival?
Dumbo was cool last year. We did it at the South Street Seaport in that area a couple times. That was for the evening event. That was actually really great. And Governor's Island has been fantastic. So, you know, the idea for when we started it the first year was in Chelsea. And kind of spread all around Manhattan. And that was really cool. And then, you know, we moved it around to a bunch of different places. And the idea behind that was we were really just interested in like, what does play look like in public spaces? And so part of that was about trying out different public spaces and seeing what game, like what it was like to play in those areas. And by doing that, we learned lots of different things. Like doing it in Times Square was really interesting. It was also kind of really unpleasant as well, because it's such a weird, unique space. It's like drinking from like a river of people, Anybody who's there 1 minute is gone in 10 minutes. But so you know, every place we does it kind of has different characteristics. So when we did in Times Square, and the next year we're like, let's go the opposite of that. Let's go to Park Slope and do it and see what it's like to do it in a place where there's like families and kids and that sort of thing.
Maybe you can describe a typical game. You know, just kind of maybe an example of a game that would give people an idea of what to expect. And I know that it sounds like there's a huge variety of things, so there's no way to sort of encapsulate one example that will show everything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's the types of games that we have at the festival are quite varied. There's definitely some sort of different trends. So like this year, usually we have all new games. We try and encourage people to submit new stuff. This year, we're going to repeat some of our favorites. So the games like Spaghetti Standoff, which was very popular several years ago. And that game is great. It's a game for about like 10 people to play at once. Every player gets a piece of uncooked spaghetti, and then they hold one end of it, and then the person next to them holds the other end of the spaghetti, the uncooked spaghetti, and then everyone stands in a circle. So you get everyone standing in a circle holding the spaghetti. And then when they say go, everyone sort of tries to move, and what you want to do is try not to have your spaghetti break. And then the last two players with a piece of unbroken spaghetti win. And so it's a very simple, like, quick physical social game where everyone's sort of jostling around, bumping into each other, you know, not super physical, and takes about a minute and a half to play, and it's for about 10 people. So that's one of the great ones that'll be back this year. This other game, Circle Rules Football, will be back as well. That's more like a new sport. It was designed by a guy named Greg Manley at the NYU as a project, the NYU Experimental Theater Program, and it kind of started out as a piece of weird avant-garde theater, and then eventually it developed into, like, you know, a real sport that he has a league for it. And this game, essentially there's one big goal in the middle, and then one team tries to kick it in from one side, and the other team tries to kick this gigantic yoga ball in from the other side. So there's this big yoga ball that everyone's sort of chasing around the field, kind of playing a weird version of soccer slash baseball, basketball with. So it looks like, when you watch people play it, it looks like a kind of interesting, goofy sport, but it's actually quite interesting and challenging. Last year we had a game, Scattershot, which I think is going to be a Kickstarter this year, which is like a big projected game. Everyone, all the players walk up, and they all, you know, with their cell phone, go to a webpage, and they get a spaceship that flies around on the screen, and they can zap other players. So it's basically a gigantic 100-person spaceship battle.
Wow, that sounds amazing. And that's going to be on Kickstarter too?
Yeah, that game, it's not actually being funded through Kickstarter yet, but we are partnering with Kickstarter because they have a very similar kind of mission in many ways to us. It's sort of supporting small grassroots projects. So we're doing a party at Kickstarter on Saturday evening that's open to the public with a bunch of games as well. So that one will have a bunch of games.
What is maybe the most epic or most sprawling game that you guys have played? Have you had something that's just kind of really huge? I mean, what is the most amount of people you've had playing a game at one time, or across the biggest area? What are sort of your records as far as the size goes?
There's been a couple of really big kind of scavenger hunt like games. There was one the first year that everyone sort of looks back on very fondly called Journey to the End of the Night. And essentially it was a variant of the childhood game, the sort of folk game zombie tag, where, you know, usually you play it with like 10 people and one person starts off as it, and they tag somebody, and then there's two people that are it, and then three, and then four, and then finally you've got nine people chasing one person. So when they did that game the first year, I think they played it with like 200 or 300 people, and they started, you know, and it ranged all the way from Chelsea down to lower Manhattan, then back up to the Lower East Side. So it was people were riding subways and chasing each other all around. You had to go through different checkpoints. That game was pretty epic and interesting. And then we've had other similar things like that, like big scavenger hunts that go for late into the night, that sort of thing.
Do any of these games, I mean, obviously there's a lot of games that are for fun, just kind of silly and fun. Do any of these games have real world applications, or are they have some sort of basis in education, or is it a simulation to teach people about something or to learn about the city in some way? Is there any sort of educational foundation to any of these games, or is that just kind of random if it does or doesn't happen?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question. We certainly have had games that have elements of that. And that's sort of up to the designers. I mean, our focus with Come Out and Play, like, you know, when we first started off, I think we had a sort of, there was some social mission to it in terms of like exploring public space, like, and different people that, look, you know, were involved with it had sort of a different different take on that. Like, for example, Nick was very interested in, we started up right around the time when there was a bunch of protests happening with, like, I think the RNC convention that was in New York. And, like, New York parade laws got really weird and how you could gather. And so he was very interested in that, like, exploring that, like, saying, like, saying kind of reclaiming public spaces, saying we can do what, we should be able to do what we want. I think that was it was certainly a part of what we were thinking about. We've had a lot of people from urban planning and space design, architects, stuff like that, have been interested and come to the festival and even done stuff with it over the years. And that was certainly a big part of it. And I think it kind of remains so. But as over time, it's actually, I think more and more of our focus has just become on there's a real value in having fun and playing games. And I think that, like, it brings people together in a really interesting way. And so what's been one of the things I've loved the most about the festival is, like, and kind of and as a game, a game designer, I found the most educational for me is watching the audience change over time and become just much more general. We started off and it was a lot of tech hipsters that came to the festival. And then now we just get, like, a really interesting cross section of New York. You get, like, 17-year-old Hispanic kids playing with 40-year-old big black guys and white hipsters from Williamsburg. So that part of it is really, I think, interesting. And that said, we do still have, like, some people do have done some really interesting educational games and use them as a way to kind of explore different issues. So last year there was a game in Dumbo called What Lost, I think, and it was to explore the gentrification of the neighborhood of Dumbo. There was another game a couple of years ago done by a group out of Parsons called Reactivism, and that sort of took people all around like Union Square area and had them visit, like, sites of famous protests and social issues. So you went to the where the Triangle Shirt Waistcoat Factory fire was and other a couple other places. So people have used them as interesting ways to explore social issues as well. And, we always love it when people do that. We've partnered with Games for Change in the past, which is another festival in New York that has a lot of educational and exact Games for Change, and use that as a way to we did a contest a couple of years ago where we put out a call to have people design a game that you could be played in a specific area that would actually leave the place that the area where it was played better off. And we had a lot of people submit really interesting game designs for that. And the one that won and that was run at Come Out and Play was called the Commons, and it was a really interesting take on, like, it was almost like a scavenger hunt, like a hot or not scavenger hunt, where you went around finding things and then posting them, like, and saying, like, I think I would like this change. Would you like this change? And people could kind of vote up other people's things. And so it sort of it rewarded you for being civically engaged in a way with your surroundings.
For those who want to come or get involved, what kind of opportunities are for people to get involved or come and play? What do they need to know as far as when and where and how much does it cost to come and play?
So Come Out and Play is all free. It is there's this year there's a couple different events. If you're interested in the game design side of stuff and, like, the want to hear about people designing them and all the challenges they face actually making one of these things. And it's a little different than video games. We're doing a talk with the NYU Game Center. We're doing a series of talks at the NYU Game Center on July 16th in Brooklyn. And we'll have a bunch of designers who've made games. They're kind of giving very quick design-focused talks, saying, like, this is a game I made and this is a problem I tried to solve with it. And we've got some really smart people that are going to be talking about that. Then on the Friday the 17th, July 17th, in Dumbo, I think it starts at 7 p.m. and goes till about 10:30. There'll be that's the After Dark event that has a bunch of different games. I think we've got about 15 or 20 different games happening that night down there. And those are the sort of kind of a little bit more tech-enabled stuff. There's some projection games, some also social games. That's where that Rose Macbeth and the Blindfold and Knife Fight game is going to be. And then on Saturday, July 18th, on take the ferry out to Governor's Island, and we'll be there all day. I think it starts around 11 o'clock, 11 a.m., and goes till about 5. And if you've got kids, bring your family. We'll have games for little kids and bigger kids, and also bigger kids, all those 20 and 30 and 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds that still want to play games. And again, like, all the events are free, and the it's first come, first serve. So, we've messed around with ticketing in the past, but we find that people who sign up for things on the internet don't just, like, go to things. So now it's how you show up. All the games are sort of played around in one area and kind of see what's there, see what looks good, what thing you want to try out, and then hop right in.
And you're also looking for volunteers still?
Yeah, we would love to, come out and play as a very grassroots festival, and we've tried to make it. It really started almost as like a community, an exercise in like community development. We, like I said, we've been making games like this, and we were, myself, this woman Catherine Herdlich, Peter Lee, Nick Fortuno, and Mattia Romeo. Those are the original founders. We've been making games, and we're like, I think there's some other people doing weird stuff like this. Let's, why don't we, we'll do a festival, see if like if there are other designers and there's other players that want to do this. And turns out that hypothesis was kind of spot on, and we got a lot of people. We met a lot of new designers, and really coalesced a community around it. And we also met tons of interesting volunteers, and sort of the come out and play family of both designers and volunteers has been going strong for a while now. And we get people who come back every year and help out. And so we're always want, we're always interested in meeting new people that are interested in interesting new types of play, and want to welcome to the welcome them to the sort of the community.
That's very cool. What if someone can't come to the festival? They're busy this weekend or something. Are there ways that this is a festival followed up, or any of these games online? Is it easy for them to find if, say, they wanted to play it with their family or something like that? How does someone who maybe can't make it to the event, do they have any access to any of the things that are happening?
Yeah, I mean, so we do just do some events throughout the year. I think we'll do another couple things throughout the summer. And so, yeah, I would say if you're interested in this sort of game, you can't make it this weekend. If you go to comeoutandplay.org, you can sign up there for our newsletter, and we send out updates about what we're doing, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And when we're doing new events or running games in different places, we'll let everyone know. And we do get a lot of people that come out for those as well. Most of them don't have big online components. I mean, some of the games have a commercial thing, but a lot of these things are really being done by artists or game designers who maybe work in video games, or maybe they make something else. And this is just a way to experiment with some other interesting ideas. And so some of them don't necessarily have a commercial component that makes it very easy to play elsewhere. Some of them you could also download. And so if you track down those games, some of them will sometimes people will post the instructions on how to play them online.
All right. Well, thank you very much for talking to me today. And hopefully, I look forward to being there and playing some of these games.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And that's it. My thanks to Greg Giuffrai for thoughtfully answering all my questions and for taking time out of his holiday weekend to speak with me. Check out the blog to learn more about the different events that we mentioned in this episode. On the next episode, I'll be speaking with Bangladeshi human rights advocate Nazma Akhtar about her work for the Awaj Foundation and her fight for the garment workers in Bangladesh. Follow the podcast on Twitter or like the Facebook page to get all the updates on all future episodes. Have a good night and a great weekend.